Welcome to Aspire and your new year. This is our first program for 2020. I'm grateful to be with you on this beautiful fourth day of January as we take a look at transference. What does transference mean? Every so often, I use one of the big words, and I need to clarify myself with myself and you, probably. So we're going to look at transference today, and I'm very, very grateful you chose to be with me as we start off this new year with hopefully a humdinger of a program, something that will really help you. I want you to understand these radio programs are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gift. Our mystery donor last year matched everything. I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart. We gained new sponsors, which was really, really nice. And I want to thank our new sponsors. And some people made some kind donations, and I want to thank them. Of course, I did. Through the mail, but I want to thank you all for allowing me to be here with you in this format. It's very important, and I am humbled and grateful that I get to share with you another year. And it's been a long, long haul in this lifetime. Let's talk about transference. What does transference mean? In psychoanalysis, the redirection to a subtle, usually a therapist, of emotions that were originally felt in childhood in a phase of analysis called transference neurosis. Ooh, that's such a bad definition. It's so bad. I could hardly get it out. So here's transference. It's when a person that you're working with, or you yourself, transfer maybe childlike or childhood emotionality or memories, or you transfer to another person authority. And it could be anybody, not me, it could be anybody, but people are looking for someone to blame, someone to look up to. We want heroes. This is why we have the government we have. We want heroes. We want people to do the right thing, to protect us, truth, justice, and the American way kind of thing. So we do all of this stuff, and it's really transference is when someone has become an authority figure in your life, and you transfer all of your emotionality and frustrations and whatever onto them. They have no idea you've done this, probably. We've all done it. When I was in therapy in the beginning of my career, yeah, I definitely was there. And then you start to understand how you do it, and then you don't do it no more. That's really just the end result of it. You just, I see what I've done, and I just don't do that anymore. So you start to look at it from that premise, that point of view, and then you start to understand that people aren't really saying to us what we think they're saying. They're not as opposed to us or even for us as we'd like to believe, and it's a real mishmash. It can get pretty cloudy. So I got three interesting emails 2 weeks ago, evidently in a program, and I can't figure out which one I did or where I talked about it. I talked about personal transference, and maybe I meant transcendence, but it couldn't be because three people would have. Anyway, here's the three questions. Who knows where they came from or how they got into origins here, but here we go. First one comes from Karen. Karen does not tell me where she lives. I listen to you all the time, and I really enjoy you. I'm grateful, Karen. You mentioned transference today in this radio program that I really am locked onto. She didn't tell me which one it was. I looked it up. How does transference affect us? How does this apply to my life? I'm concerned, Karen. Karen, it's I'm going to keep it as simple as I possibly can, because simple is better for me, for you, and for everyone else. Whenever I put someone above me, whenever I think, oh, you're a better person than I am, you know more than I do, I transfer authority to them. Now, there are people that are, you know, much smarter than me. There are people who know much more than me. I go to hospice, the doctors, the nurses, they all know more than me. I'm just there to help with the spiritual end of it all, not any more than that. And so they are the experts, and I acquiesce to them because they know best. And I have found in many, many, many cases, at least 95%, they're always correct. So, you know, they're doing their profession, and I bow to that. Luckily, I am with a group of people that allow me to be, you know, what I am to the client, to the patient, to the family, and they don't muddle into my stuff. So we have a good relationship. Where it gets muddy is if I were to think, Karen, for a moment that the diagnosis of the doctor is wrong, and I start to take it personally, and I transfer onto him my mother, my father, and he could be absolutely right about everything, but I think he's wrong, or I want him to be wrong, or whatever wrong is. This just goes on and on and on within us. Transference is when I think I know more or as much as the doctor, or I know more or as much as the nurse, or that you, the doctor and the nurse, have it in for me and they're giving me bad information or blah, blah, blah. The transference is when I am just making my problems another person's problem, and I'm thinking that they are promoting that problem and making me the victim to them. And I'm not, and I don't. And that's what we do a lot. We do a lot of transference. We need to think there are people that are more knowledgeable than us. And there is nothing wrong with that, Karen. There is absolutely nothing wrong. There are people more knowledgeable in various fields, and I totally acquiesce to that. I have no problem with that. But when I do some, you know, crazy thing, when Greg wants to look at someone and he is, let's say, being revealed, called out on the carpet for something he did, and he would want to blame another person for that and say, well, you caused it because you were a this and you were a that, and you sound just like my mother, or you sound just like my father, whatever. That's when I start to have some transference problems. And I miss the opportunity to really understand what is being said. Now, this transference issue is available to all of us. And it goes on and on and on in each and every one of us. All of us, me, you, everyone. We all like to do the blame thing. You did this. You said that. You shouldn't have done it. And then the trust issue comes in. I mean, with what we see going on right now in the world today, with what we see going on in Washington today, there's so much transference and ego flying around that the real causation of what the problem is totally ignored. Totally ignored. Way back in the day, when I was a young man and the Vietnam War was going on, which people today seem to have forgotten, there was a man named Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite was the most trusted man in our society. He was a news commentator. He was thorough. He was intelligent. And he was dependable. And a lot of us, including Gregory Edward Penn here, transferred the authority of his life onto whatever Walter had to say. And he gave a famous, and I think it's on YouTube, I'm sure it is. He gave a famous ending to his news commentary program where he denounced the Vietnam War. He had gone over to Vietnam. He had seen the mess. He understood it. He was a very intelligent man. He was like the grandfather and father of the collective unconscious, those of us who were just swimming around in the collective and we didn't know who to trust and who to believe in. But Walter was the guy, and he literally ended the Vietnam War. He really did. He said what he said. Everybody heard what he said, trusted what he said. We transferred the mother-father thing onto him. He was that kind old father and grandfather that we were looking for, some sensibility, some continuity, and just being sensible. And he basically forced it all to end. And that's just transference. There you are. That's how it works. Now, I don't want that with my listeners. While I want harmony with my listeners, and if you transfer onto me your mother, your father, and that's usually what transference is all about, you're going to miss my message. You're going to miss everything. I sat with enlightened masters in India, and I'm going to tell you, transference ran all over the place, all over. It was all about this master, that master being, you know, the father figure, the wise father who told everybody what to do. And, you know, we get this from Jesus when he said, you know, our Father who art in heaven, referring to God as a man, as a father figure. Not good. But he did it for a reason in his day, not the same as our day. So you can't really look at him and say, hey, stupid, didn't you know you were doing transference? Because he wasn't. It was a whole different thing. And you can't look at him and blame him for that. So it is me and thee that is the issue always in our life. And so, Karen, all I can say is you've got to watch your transference. You really do. And men do it with other men. Who's the biggest, you know, creature on the planet? Who's the biggest buck on the hill? And we transfer onto them the father ideal and all of that. And then the women do it to their mothers or their men and make them their fathers. And oh, it just gets so blooming complicated and has to really be done on a case-by-case basis. So, all right, I did my thing. I hope that helped you. I really do. And Karen, if you have any other questions, feel free to call me. I'd love to talk to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you haven't noticed, I'm struggling with a body that is not feeling well right now. So if I'm a little transferred, understand. All right, next one comes from Tony. She does not tell me, or he does not tell me where he lives. It could be a male or a female. Can't tell whether. You know, sometimes you can tell T-O-N-E-Y is, I don't know. All right, here we go. Everyone has a few flaws, he says, or she says. I'm going to take it like a man. But we are not as bad as the bad. Right, Greg? Tony. Well, Tony, everybody has what I call capacity. The capacity to do great and beautiful things, and the capacity to do horrible, heinous things. What is it that a person has within them that makes them do the heinous things or the good things? And what is that particular mentality all about? That's an interesting question that you bring up. And I find it fascinating. It all has to do with karma. It all has to do with where I left myself in my last life and what I was struggling with. And yes, we all have flaws. Everybody has flaws. Everybody who has a body has a flaw. Somewhere within them, there are flaws. But how bad are those flaws? Well, a flaw is a very different thing than something that lives within me that is like an entity in itself, an entity within an entity. There are people who I know, who I have had as students, former, believe me, who do nothing but lie. They lie to themselves, they lie to other people, they lie. Now they've got it all covered up and they've got it all condensed in a little package inside their brain that allows them to continue on and think that they're flawless or that that flaw doesn't matter, whatever the lying flaw is about. Then they transfer onto other people the whole idea that nobody knows that they're lying. And the joke really is that we all know that a person is lying. So you start to look at the flaws. Flaws are there. They truly are. I don't judge a person by their flaws. I judge a person, and I know you're saying, Greg, you judge? Yes, we all do. I judge a person by their willingness to go into love, bliss, drop the flaws, drop the right, the wrong, the good, the bad. Then I know who I can help. Then there are some people I can't help. So what do I do with those people? I'm very polite. I am very cordial. And if there is something I can do that would help them, I would certainly do it. But would I go out of my way? No. No, 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 no. I would never do that. Why? Because it would be misconstrued. Sometimes the good we do for other people only promotes the flaws in them, the difficulties they have, the evil that they have. And you have to be very, very careful. You have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And a lot of people don't know when to hold them, and a lot of people don't know when to fold them. They just don't know. So I am very, very aware of who I'm with. And at any given situation, I am always aware of who I'm with, what that person's capacity is, their interest, their ability to move into love, to feel the state of love within themselves, to feel the goodness of their heart. I'm always aware of that. And if I don't sense it, which I do in most people, I don't try to cultivate it or test it or anything like that. I just let it be there. For whatever it is, I let it be there. Then I watch. And I watch and I watch. I watch how they're taken out of my life, how they are removed, which is a very good thing. And I learn that the humblest thing and the most humiliating thing about it all is that person could be me at any given time, at any given place. And I have to realize that and not look at it and go, I am a terrible person like they're a terrible person. I don't see people like that. I see people as dark and light. I don't want to be dark, and I only want to help those who do love the dark, and there are people who do. I only want to be able to help them into the light if possible. If not, if I recognize that it can't be done, I back off. And I have students who are in the dark, and I back off, and I just let them float away. And they do, because I'm not going to be feeding them any energy that would help them promote their genetics, their DNA, and live in maybe a unkind and harmful way towards other people and themselves. It's a fine line. And a lot of people in this world would hear what I just had to say and wouldn't understand a single sentence. And that's why we are where we are. Anyway, Tony, I hope that helped. And if not, you know, you can always give me a call. I'll try to do a little more for you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from John. Can we ever get along with one another? John. No, we will never get along with one another. Too much ego, too much proof of the pudding, as it were. We don't want to get along with one another. We want to be supreme. We want to be better than others. And because we want that, we miss what is going on within ourselves, and we never see the opportunity to really help another person. You know, when Jesus said, love ye one another as I have loved you, that's a huge thing to say. I mean, huge. How did he love us? No one really knows, because it is not in the human vernacular. Jesus, Buddha, Lhasa, Mahavir, Krishna, all these great masters. And I have been in the presence of some great ones, really good ones, well, great ones. They love in a different way. They do not love out of emotion. They do not love out of passion. They do not love for a reason. Their love has no motive. None. And that makes all the difference in the world. A love that has no passion, emotion, no reason, no personality thing, nothing. It's just plain love. And that is what makes it so beautiful and so kind. No side agenda, just love. I hope that helps you. Will we all ever get to that place where we can do this? Where we can love one another in this way? In this world, no. As Jesus said, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. It isn't going to happen here. We can't be depending on each other for that. We have to be what Gandhi said. What we want to see in the world, we have to become what we want to see in the world. I have to become that love and that compassion. And if I don't, I miss. And I miss everything that is deeply important to the causation of goodness within you and within me. That is really what it's all about. So, can you love? Can you let love live you? Can you live in love? Can you be the light you want to see in this world? No matter what is going on, can you do that? Not others, you, me. That is the real question. And yes, you can do it, but you have to find out why you won't do it. And that is the big humbug thing. If you can understand why you wouldn't do it, why the ego won't let you, and it's only this entity called the ego that keeps us from loving one another and being kind, well, then you have something very important. You understand the crux of the matter here on Earth, and it's a big one. It's a huge one. I hope that helps you. I really do. Thank you for listening and writing. I really appreciate it, John. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. Thank you for, thank you for the first program in January. I'm very, very grateful. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Have a beautiful day. And once again, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.